The first we're going to start with is skit, correct? Doesn't really matter what I think. Yes, we are. Okay, so here we go. This is a skit on one of our worst days. I see our kid, or one of our kids is in the room. That's just the way it goes. Okay, here we go.
You don't have to preface it.
I don't need to preface it. Okay, I got that. Cut the preface. Here we go. So I'm coming home from work. She's at home.
He could go on with introductions for like another couple hours, so at some point we just have to start.
Guys, getting all this? This is all relevant. All right, we go. All right, I'm coming home from work. Oh my gosh, the traffic was horrible. I'm starving. Hey, what's going on? I'm just starving. Traffic was horrible.
You're starving?
Yeah, I haven't had anything to eat. I just got home.
You're home. Do you know what time it is? It's 8:30. I mean, we have long since had dinner. And in fact, the kids are in bed already. You missed them again because you're home late again, like you always are.
Okay, what was I doing? I was at work making money for the family so they have a bed to sleep in. I'm sorry I had to work late tonight. It happens sometimes.
Well, you know, how about calling? Did you ever think about that? I mean, you might call and let me know. It was burning in the oven. I was waiting for you. And you promised that you were going to be home so we could have at least one family dinner. And, like, you know what? Our kids are not even going to know their father.
That's the end of the skit. I can't take any more.
That's not the end. Now, then I get the final zinger. You're just like your father. All you care about is work.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Little pause. We really systematically there did all the things you should never do to have good communication in a marriage. You might have noticed them. So with that in mind, that always takes me out of my phlegmatic, harmonious spot in life. Also, no, the more we do this over the years, the more Lorraine gets into it. I've noticed that. Used to stop before the father comment, but she likes that one. Okay, very good. Okay. All right, so one of the main omissions there that is absolutely vital in marriage. Now, by the way, Christ said in the Gospel of John, you will have trouble. So when you got married or have a relationship or got a job, you can expect some trouble. The unique thing about being a Christian isn't the trouble-free life. The unique thing about being a Christian is having Christ in our lives so we overcome problem. Right? That's the difference. It's not problem-free. It's problem overcoming with Christ in our life and our hearts. Anyhow, one of the major skills that is most valuable because it hits at the one thing that hurts communication the most, the one quality that brings communication to a complete stop is defensiveness. As soon as one party gets defensive, we're on to a totally different agenda. Usually what's happening then, you're thinking about, as soon as she takes a breath, I'm correcting her on that one. Or, how can she be so wrong? Or, this is so unfair. You know, I'm just being accused of all sorts of stuff. I must fight back or give up. So you go, when you get defensive, you go fight or flight. Now sometimes when there's a fire, you want to flight. Sometimes when you're in the alley and they're coming after you, you might want to fight. Outside of that, your general response in a marriage is one of love, the third option. I don't want to fight, I don't want to flight, I want to have a loving encounter with you, the person I'm going to have the endless sleepover for the rest of my life, and let's make it harmonious and loving. So, the one quality we're going to highlight here is empathy. Working as a marriage therapist for a quarter of a century, empathy is vitally important on the natural level. Empathy means that even though I don't agree with you, and I want to highlight that, empathy does not equal agreement. It's like forgiveness that way. I can forgive you, I don't need to endorse or agree with what you did. Because some people get those things confused. So empathy means I want to hear you tell me what's on your mind. I may or may not agree with it, but because I love you and you mean so much to me, I want to hear what's on your mind. And there's two qualities to it. I want to understand what you're telling me, and I want to know the feeling. So if I was to report to you this little scene we had here and say, hey, Ari, what happened when you went home last night? She was a little disappointed that I was late. That would be non-empathic. She wasn't disappointed. She was really angry. I don't keep my promises. I'm not home for dinner. And she's really angry. Those two qualities you want to start listening for in your spouse. Well, actually, everybody, but so particularly the one who means the most to you, the one that God has conjoined into one. What is it? I want to understand, and I want to know how you feel. I want to understand how you feel. This is not easy, though. This is very difficult. By the way, as far as I can tell, it's the only thing that breaks down defensiveness. So you're starting to get hot under the collar. You're never, like they're never home. Are you kidding? I have to just come with one example where I came home and I'm off the hook. Well, I can come up with that. It's unfair. I felt like it's unfair. So what you want to do is be able to listen this way. Pope Benedict says we have to realize that the art of listening, listening is an art. And the artistic part is I really want to understand what's happening. And sometimes when this happens, you go, let me see if I got this right. So you're just infuriated with me because I again come home late and had no consideration. Is that right? That's probably going to be pretty close. Of course, she'll correct me on it if I don't get it just right. You're mad as hell. You're not going to take it anymore. It's kind of those kind of things. So that's empathy. Empathy means dying yourself. So as soon as here's the thing: as defensiveness starts crawling up, and if there's any accusatoriness or any kind of unfairness, it'll come barging in. Watch out if you feel that coming up, it's going to just derail the communication. Well, sometimes you take a stop, and we'll talk about different techniques of that. Empathy is dying to yourself, because rather than be thinking about your repartee, rather than thinking about how to correct him or her, you're thinking, I want to make sure I understand exactly what's bothering her. I really want to get it. And it's self-giving. I'm putting my agenda aside here a second. I want to understand why my wife is so upset at me or happy. Now, it can work the other way around, too. Sometimes you give compliments, but that usually isn't the kind of thing that makes marriage therapists busy, is that kind of stuff. And then the gold standard is not just what they said, but how they felt. All right.
And we're going to give you guys all opportunities later to practice these three exercises, I think, for practicing. One of them is practicing empathy, so we will come back to that at a later point in our day today. So there's this famous story about somebody had a vision of hell, and all the people in hell were sitting around a giant pot of food, and they were all starving because they all had long spoons, and the only way that they weren't able to put the spoon into their mouth, and they couldn't feed themselves, so they were starving. But the solution was to put the spoon into the bowl and feed the person across the way from them. But they wouldn't do it because that person was an evil sinner. So all the people in hell starved. Anyway, and so it's like, it is kind of like in our marriage, and what you learned from about temperaments was that they're all different, and the other person might also have different emotional needs from myself. So when we realize that our temperaments are different and our emotional needs are different and the kind of the way we react are different, so it's the same kind of thing. You're kind of like, well, they are different, and maybe if I would respond to the other person, not in the way I think he ought to respond, but I should respond in the way that is most loving and expresses love to him, then we're actually meeting that other person's emotional need, and they are more likely to meet our emotional needs. So it's kind of like that vision that the guy had with the long spoons. And Benedict the 16th used a beautiful image in his encyclical, God is Love, of angels ascending and descending on Jacob's ladder to heaven. One was ascending love and one was descending love. And it was giving and receiving. And the Pope tells us, even in that encyclical, that we can't always give, we must also receive. So it's kind of a beautiful message, I think, for marriages, that we have to be willing to both give and receive.